Hare Krishna. So I would like to welcome all the guests, devotees and students for the 24th Prerana Festival. In the month of June, year 2002, we began this Prerana Festival with a group of only about 200 students, and we have increased in geometric progression, seeing more than about 1000 students at times, and during exams and vacations a minimum of 500 students. It has been a very consistent and successful program. We are very grateful to all of you for very enthusiastically participating very regularly in this Prerana Festivals. I would also like to seek the blessings of His Grace Radhanath Prabhu, a very senior disciple of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. By His blessings, we would like to speak a few words on this topic. Also, my humble apologies to all of you, because the topic which was advertised for today was the scientific basis of Krishna consciousness, and the speaker was the chairman of the Apar Group of Industries, His Grace Srinathji Prabhu, Mr. Narendra Desai. However, in the last week on Wednesday, he has undergone open heart surgery, and therefore it was not possible for him to come here and share his views on this topic. And I wanted to speak on this topic, but he insisted that he would like to speak on the same topic whenever he speaks. So therefore I had to choose another topic, and the topic we have chosen for today is the art of living. Living very closely has to do with the word life. And the moment we speak of life, we are immediately reminded of advertisements, slogans, movies, songs, which convey a similar kind of idea. It's not at all unusual to be driving on Pedder Road and finding a huge hoarding, "Live life, king size." Right? Everyone wants to live a king size life. No one wants to live a servant size life, a poor man's life. Of course, smoking cigarettes is no way to live life king size. But the fact of the matter is, everyone wants to live a grand life. It's not at all unusual to find big hoardings, cinema hoardings saying, "Mujhe jine do," right? Give me the right to live. Living seems to be a birthright. Tilak said, "Swaraj ha majha janmasiddha adhikar ahe." Freedom is my birthright. But even more than freedom, to live itself is a birthright for a person. There are several social activists, religious groups who are entitled after this very concept, the art of living, who propagate some breathing exercises, some fun games, some music and dance, going and talking to the trees, going and talking to the birds, asking the trees, "How do you feel today?" Asking the trees, "Have you had your meal today?" And if you go for a program, this particular group, without having spoken to trees, they drive you out. Right. The basic qualification to get initiated in this course is talking to trees and understanding the sentiments of the birds, the feelings of birds. So therefore, it is very, very important for us to estimate what the value of life is. And what is the real art of living? One time, there was a man, and as he was walking by the street, he found a young child drowning in a nearby lake. The man immediately rushed to the place, helped out the child, and the child was in all thanks and gratitude to the man. He said, "Thank you very much, sir, for having saved my life. I'm extremely grateful to you." The man said, "Remember, child, I have saved your life. I have given you now the right to live. Make sure that your life is worth living." Right. Now you have the right to live. But the big question mark that comes in the minds of each of us is our life really worth living? Is there something in our life that we can stand for? Because it is explained, if we do not stand for something in life, we fall for anything in life. Right? Therefore, if we do not want to fall for anything in life, it is important to stand for something very important in life. If you ask people what is their opinion about life, different people give different ideas, different opinions, their own perceptions. As a matter of fact, if we carefully examine the life around us, we find that the life around us is more or less based upon individual perceptions. The Niti Shastras explain, Eka Eka Padarthastu Tridha Bhavati Vikshita Kunapaha Kamini Masam Yogi Bhi Kami Bhi Shwabhi. Eka Eka Padarthastu, one object, Eka Padartha Tridha Bhavati Vikshita. When three people are Vikshita, seeing this one object, seeing one object, Tridha, three people may have three different perceptions, may have three different ideas, which may be different completely. What is the object? Example is given. Once on a street, there was a very beautiful, young, charming girl walking. And three people were following this lady. Eka Padarthastu. Right. One girl was being seen by three people. Tridha Bhavati. Who are these three? Yogi Bhi, Kami Bhi, Shwabhi. Yogi Bhi means one was a yogi. He was also walking. Kami Bhi means a very lusty man whose only goal is to enjoy. And Shwabhi. Shwabhi means a dog, because in Sanskrit Shwa means dog. Right. So a dog, a lusty man and a yogi were all walking on a road and were watching this young girl. Now listen to what were their perceptions. Seeing one object, they had three different perceptions. What was the perception of yogi? Yogi thought, Kunapaha. Kunap means a bag. Right. Just like if you have Lufthansa Airlines bag, very glossy, very beautiful looking, or you have a cheap 1 rupee plastic bag. Inside if there is rotten apples, what difference it makes? Whether it's a glossy bag or a 1 rupee bag. So the yogi thought, very glossy looking bag. But what is filled inside? Urine, stool, mucus, pus. What is there to be attracted with? No use. Yogi bhi kunapaha, he perceived it as a bag of flesh and bones. Kami bhi, a lusty man. When he saw the same beautiful girl, Kami bhi kamini, he thought, areva, kamini, right. A beautiful object to enjoy with her, right. When will she be mine? And Shwabhi, as the dog was walking, what was his perception? Mamsam, right. My feast is walking. I was all the time thinking that my master is throwing me a piece of meat. But what is this? My food is walking today. Right. When will this food be stationary and I can enjoy the feast? One object seen by three people. Eka padarthastu tridha bhavati. Three different perceptions of one object. Similarly, when we talk of life, then the same concept life when seen by different people, their perception is different. Ask a young man, what is your perception of life? Very boring without a wife. Right. That is his perception. I want to get married. Ask the man who is working very hard at Nariman Point, struggling it out, foaming it out. Ask him, what is his perception of life? Life is strife. Too much struggle. Right. Is it not? Ask someone else who is going through difficulties in his life, what is your conception of life? He will say, life means to walk on the edge of a knife. Ask a college student whose father has not given him his desired birthday present, what is life? For me, life means a Hero Honda bike. Right. I just want a bike, nothing else. Ask someone, do you know what the misery of life is? He'll say, you want to know what is the misery of life? Go and ask Mike Tyson, what misery of life is. He will tell you how miserable life is. He wants to die now, wants to be a reformed human being. So ask different people about the same concept life, they will give you different answers, different perceptions. So is it that all of these opinions which people have about life and people write about life are absolute, are correct, are acceptable, are authoritative? Big question mark. सबकी बात माननी चाहिए क्या? Should we accept whatever everyone says about life? Let us do a small exercise. Right. Now everyone should do it seriously, okay? Everyone should close their eyes now. सब लोग अपनी आंखें बंद करो. Everyone, shut your eyes tight. Now that you have shut your eyes, points to whatever you think is the north. All of you raise your hands and point to whatever you think is northern direction. Yes. Everyone please. Correct. Keep your eyes closed please. Everyone is not participating. Please everyone point to what you think is the northern direction. Close your eyes. Keep your hands in the air and now open your eyes. And just look around you. Right. How many norths are there? How many norths are there? Somebody is pointing here. Somebody is pointing up. Somebody is pointing back. Everyone is pointing in different directions. Right. Just because everyone is pointing in different directions to show what is the northern direction, does it mean that there are that many norths? Are there as many norths as the number of people sitting in this hall today? How many norths are there? One. There is an absolute standard of what is the northern direction. There cannot be two standards for what is the northern direction. Right. Similarly, there should be an absolute standard, a benchmark for what life actually means. We can't have a million opinions about life, just like we cannot have a million opinions about what north is. Thus, it is imperative and very, very important to make a standard, authoritative benchmark, a reference to what life actually means. Mark Twain once said, what is the meaning of timetables? He said, timetables are made by the railways to tell you how late the trains are. Right. Which means there is a standard of trains. They're supposed to come in the right time. But when they don't come in the right time, all the time, then you have to change. You have to make your timetables to find out how late the trains are. In India, there is a saying, you see, that when the trains get late, whenever a train is late, the train makes up for the late time by speeding up in the night. But as regards the Indian woman, she first does makeup and then she gets late. Right. Just the opposite of Indian trains. So the whole point is, there has to be a standard. There has to be a benchmark. And it has to be absolute. It cannot be changed. And where do we get this benchmark from? Where do we get this absolute standard from? We get this absolute standard for what is the purpose of life and how to live a life in an expert way, the art of living, from the authoritative scriptures, from the Vedic literatures. And thus we are going to discuss today, based on the opinion of the Vedic literatures, based on the scriptures, what is the real art of living. Once upon a time, there was a very big construction company. And in this construction company, there was a carpenter who would work regularly. He was honest in his work. He contributed the maximum he could. And at the end he decided, enough is enough. I have had enough now. I have sufficient money to take care of my family and relatives. I should now take VRS, voluntary retirement. Of course, nowadays there is a lot of discussion going on whether VRS should be stopped or not. Right, after the new government has taken over. He decided to take voluntary retirement. Now as he was presenting his resignation letter to his boss, the boss told him, my dear friend, you have made so many houses for me, worked for me, and all your wooden work has been expert, beautiful, exquisite in its beauty, right, and perfection. Now that you are leaving the job, all I want to do is just make one last house, bus. Just make one house and that is the end of it. Anyways, you are retiring. One last job. And the carpenter started working. And guess what he did? It was his last job. Sometimes, you know, you students have got experience. After writing 5 papers, when it is the last paper, how many of you really study seriously? Just the prospect of enjoying the vacation makes you very lousy in your studies, right? Similarly, this man, just the prospect of living a free, retired life, but who the hell will care for working so hard? So he used the cheapest wood. He did not put his heart in it. He made lousy furniture, lousy fixtures. And then finally, when the house was ready, he went and handed over the key to his boss. The boss hadn't seen the house yet. And the boss said, "Take this key, this is my gift to you, right, for all the hard work that you have put in so many years." Correct. And the carpenter lamented, "If only I would have used the best quality wood, I would have lived in a real grand house today." Right? Is it not the plight of each and every single one of us? God has given us this beautiful gift, right, this house. But what do we do? We do not use this life properly. We use the cheapest values, the cheapest principles. We base our lives on unethical, moral, immoral principles. And then what do we find? What the carpenter found. Just like the carpenter used cheap materials, and therefore what was the result? A cheap house. Similarly, when we base our lives on cheap values, immoral and unethical principles, what is the result? Our future is going to be miserable. Our future is going to be based simply on suffering and torment. Thus, now that we have this gift given by God, it is right time to use it for the right purpose. Therefore, there is a beautiful proverb which says, "Yesterday is history, tomorrow is mystery. Today is a gift that God has given us, therefore it is called present." Right? Because a gift is also called present. So yesterday is definitely history, no use. Tomorrow is mystery, who knows what will happen. But today is the gift you have in your hands, which is called present. Use this present of present tense for succeeding in your lives. So let us try to see a few quotes that eminent personalities have given about this word life. "You cannot control your life." "You cannot control the length of your life, but you can control its breadth, depth and height." How many of you can control the length of your life? No one has a control over the length of life. But when you speak of the height, the depth or the breadth, which means the quality of life, quality control is in our hands. We don't have the span of life in our hands, but we have the quality control in our hands. And therefore, I remember when I was a child, on Delhi Doordarshan, there would be this very famous song, and if I sing it out, probably, I don't know, most of you may know it. Vivian Richards was starring in the song. Vivian Richards, along with all the children, it was for child welfare. "We are the world, we are the children, we are the ones to make a better life, so let's start living, let's start living. There's a choice for making, we are saving our own lives. We are the world, we are the children." Right? "We are the ones to make a better life, so let's start living." And he said, we have a choice for making. We have a choice for making our lives. We don't have a choice to control the length of our life, but we definitely have the choice to control the breadth, the depth and the height, meaning the quality of our life. Next. "Life is like a bank. You cannot take out what you have not put in." Just imagine you go to a bank and say, "Give me 1 crore rupees. If you have not put 1 crore rupees in your bank account, how do you expect 1 crore to come out of the bank account? Life is just like a bank account. If you do not invest in life now, if you do not base your life on right values, when it's time to get back from life, how do you expect good things to come from life? If you haven't put good things in the bank account of your life." Next. "Life is an eternal struggle. to keep the money coming in and the teeth, hair and vital organs from going out or coming out. Is it not? It is an eternal struggle. Let the money keep coming in, but it's hard, right? It's a struggle to keep all the organs falling off. And therefore, Shankaracharya says, Angam galitam palitam mundam dashana vihinam jatam tundam vriddhoyati grihitva dandam tadapinam unchati asha pindam. Angam galitam, ang ang gal raha hai, right? Angam galitam, each and every limb of the body is now just getting rotten and dwindling off. Rheumatism, arthritis with age, right? Palitam mundam, palitam mundam, ek ek baal gir jata hai, aur mundam, right? Humko to shaving karna padta hai, wo natural mundam, no need to go to barber. Palitam mundam, dashanavihinam jatam tundam, dashanavihinam jatam tundam, right? किसी को अभी बोलना नहीं पड़ता, दांत तोड़ दो. नेचुरली पहले तीन क्रिकेट का टीम था अंदर, 32 प्लस 1 इंटेलिजेंस टूथ, राइट. अभी एक एक करके सब आउट हो गए, राइट. ऑल आउट नाउ एंड हार्डली देर इज एनी प्लेयर लेफ्ट इन द माउथ. दर्शन विहीनम जातम तुंडम वृद्धो याति गृहित्वा दंडम. व्हेन अ पर्सन गेट्स ओल्ड ही हैज टू टेक अ दंडा एंड वॉक. तदपि न मुंचति आशा पिंडम. लेकिन आशा नहीं जाती, राइट. द डिजायर डज नॉट गो. देयरफॉर इट्स अ हार्ड स्ट्रगल टू कीप मनी कमिंग इन बिकॉज देयर इज डिजायर्स एंड कीप द टीथ, हेयर एंड वाइटल ऑर्गन्स फ्रॉम कमिंग आउट और गोइंग आउट. नेक्स्ट. लाइफ इज ट्रेजिक फॉर दोज हु हैव प्लेंटी टू लिव ऑन एंड नथिंग टू लिव फॉर. देयर इज अ लॉट ऑफ मनी, लॉट ऑफ फैसिलिटी टू लिव बाय एंड लिव ऑन, बट देयर इज नो गोल इन लाइफ टू लिव फॉर. इट्स अ ट्रेजेडी ऑफ लाइफ. Life is fragile, handle with prayer, right? Objects are fragile, handle with prayer. So life is fragile, anytime it will be over, anytime it can break, therefore handle with prayer. Medical science is adding years to our lives, but it is up to us to add life to our years. Medicine can add more number of years to our life, but can it really make those years meaningful? It is in our hands to add life to the years which exist within our life. So therefore, live your life that your autograph will be wanted instead of your fingerprint. Right. Right. Which means, live your life on positive values so people will say, sign please. If you live your life on negative values, then some CBI agent will have to be sent for fingerprint. Therefore, live your life. Right. So that your autograph will be wanted instead of your fingerprints. Life is a segment BD, beginning from point B, birth, to point death, D. Right. Just see, such a simple definition of life, is it not? A segment BD, from point B to point D, from birth to death. What could be a simpler definition of life? Right. Yet, in spite of being so clear about what life is and what the purpose of life could be, people have got several misconceptions about what life is. The first misconception they have is about their identity. Second misconception they have is that life ends with death. And the third misconception they have is that life is a cozy bed of roses. And I'm sure most of you in this room are thinking like that. Life is a cozy bed of roses. क्या करना है? ज्यादा मुश्किल थोड़ी है. CAT exam दे देंगे, right? IIM Ahmedabad. And after IIM Ahmedabad, if of course the paper doesn't leak, then the exam is conducted, right? And then after IIM Ahmedabad, then job in maybe Deloitte and Tosh, or Bosch and Lomb, or Marks and Spencer, or this and that, right? And then one's job, beautiful looking, hand, sweet wife, nice children, maybe a Mercedes Benz, and so on and so forth. What a rosy picture of life we paint, is it not? These are several misconceptions which are there in our mind about life, and therefore unless we thoroughly smash these misconceptions that we have about life, we cannot learn the art of living. Therefore, it is important for us to smash and dismantle these misconceptions that we have of life. So we'll take one at a time and try to discuss, and our course of discussion will be how each of this concept, each of these misconceptions results into a certain philosophy, results into a certain ideology. You may never have thought that your misconception could give rise to a philosophy in society, right? However, the misconceptions that we have about life give rise to certain philosophies, and we are going to discuss these philosophies in brief today and then come to a conclusion as to how do we really live our lives. So first is about identity. Now, people in this world have a big problem when they think about their identity. Ask anyone who he is or who she is, they will give a long answer about it. I am a man, I am a woman, I am this, I am that. One time one of our sannyasis, His Holiness Jayapataka Swami, was in Calcutta. He preaches in Calcutta, lives in Mayapur, preaches all over the world. So this sannyasi, His Holiness Jayapataka Swami, he had given some books to print in a printing press. And he went to the printing press to collect the printed published books. So he went there, and there a school teacher had also come to collect the bunch of examination question papers. Right. So in the examination question paper, Jayapataka Swami saw, it was in Bengali, and he knows how to read Bengali, there was a question. Tomar parichay ki? Right. What is your identity? Aapka kya parichay hai? Tomar parichay ki? So Jayapataka Swami asked this teacher, this is the question you are putting to your students, what answers do you expect? Right. Said, we expect answers like, I am an Indian, I am a Bengali, I am a Hindu or a Muslim, I am a student, this and that. Jayapataka Swami asked him, what if the student writes, I am not this body, I am the Atma, I am the soul? Right. The teacher said, zero marks. Right. Tomar parichay ki, what is your identity? I am this body. And all the designations related to this body are mine. One of our devotees, Sudham Prabhu, always tells this nice funny joke that once Jawaharlal Nehru went to a mental asylum. Pagal ka dawakhana. When he went to a mental asylum, one of the madmen came there and asked Nehru, right, who are you? He said, I am the Prime Minister of India. But the madman said, when I joined the mental asylum, I also used to say the same thing. Which means, when you identify yourself to be something that you are not, who are you? Madman. When we identify ourselves to be the Prime Minister when we are not, we are called mad, right? Similarly, when we identify ourselves with matter, this body, we are mad. We are foolish. Why? Because we are not the body, as we shall see in some more time. So, we get so conditioned, we get so habituated to think in these terms. Whenever we go and stand in front of the mirror, have you ever thought, who am I? There is no way. There is no need to think. What is your first conception? Look, I am just standing in front of the mirror, this body, right? One time there was a man, there was a library, big library of books, and somehow or the other this whole library of books got burnt. And somehow there was only one book that was remaining, and there was a poor man who went to the library, and the librarian was weeping and crying that all the books are burnt. This book was a book on the secret treasure of life. Now this poor man thought, ek hi book bachaya kharid letne. And the librarian also thought, sab jal gaya, panch, 10 rupiya mil gaya, toh bhi chalega. Right. So the poor man just paid a little money and brought this book, The Secret Treasure of Life. He went through all the pages. Correct. But realized, within these pages, nothing is given, there is no secret. And then suddenly, as he was just about to throw the book, a small slip fell off from the book and he read the slip, and that was the secret treasure. How do you get that secret treasure? What was the secret treasure? The secret treasure was a touchstone. That stone by which you can turn anything into gold, a chintamani. People today have a lot of chinta for money. Correct. But if they get a chintamani, then there is no need to have chinta for money. He took this touchstone. Right. And with this he got the slip on which it was written, how to find a touchstone. It was written, go to the shores of this particular ocean, and on the shores of this ocean there are millions and millions of pebbles. Right. All those pebbles will be cold. That pebble which feels warm is the touchstone. The poor man hardly had anything. He sold all of his belongings and went on an excursion to the shores of this particular ocean. And lo and behold, all over the shores were hundreds and millions of pebbles lying. Now he thought, how would I do this job? If I touch and put it down again, then maybe I will pick up the same pebble again. Right. So he decided he will pick up one pebble. If it is cold, he will throw it in the ocean. Pick up another pebble, throw it in the ocean. So in this way, slowly, steadily, he will throw all the cold pebbles. One day he will get the warm pebble. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. He kept throwing every day. From morning to night, he would just pick up pebbles. There were millions of pebbles. All he did was picking up pebbles. Picked up the cold pebble, threw it in the water. Another pebble, threw it in the water. Another pebble, threw it in the water. And guess what? One afternoon, there was a warm pebble in his hand. And do you know what he did? He threw it in the water. Right. Over a period of months and months and months, after touching the pebble, picking it up, he had got so conditioned and habituated to throwing it in the water, when he actually picked up the warm pebble, he threw it in the water. Right. This is a major problem. When we identify ourselves with matter, the philosophy that it gives rise to is impersonalism. And what is the justification? Everyone is simply matter. Correct. There is no emotion, no feelings. Why do we need to deal with people? Right. Just look at the lives of each and every single one of us. How by dealing with matter, how by dealing with machines, we have become so mechanized that there is practically no time to deal with people. Correct. And we get so conditioned to deal with matter, to deal with facts and figures, to deal with machines, that when it comes time to deal with people, we are like this man. Right. So conditioned to deal with cold pebbles that when the warm pebble comes, he throws away. Similarly, we get so conditioned to dealing in a mechanistic, impersonal way that our lives become absolutely meaningless and dry. Right. There was once a man, and he came back from office. His son asked his father, "My dear father, kindly tell me, how much money do you earn per hour?" Right. And the man replied back. Actually, he slapped the child. "Sir, how dare you ask me such a question? Child coming and asking, ghante ka kitna milta hai?" Right. In English it sounds very good, but when you ask in Hindi, "Kya, pitaji, ghante ka kitna milta hai?" Right. It's pretty insulting. Right. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath ki, Jai Gaur Chandra ki, Shri Gopal ji ki. Yeah. Very insulting. He slapped the child. The child went and started crying in the room. The father thought if he has asked a question, make some sense. Maybe he is thinking about something. So the father went back and asked the child, "My dear son, tell me why you ask this question." "So no, first tell me, how much do you earn per hour?" The father said, "My dear son, I earn $1,000 per hour." Right. Rich man, no? $1,000 per hour. So the child went back to the father and said, "You earn $1,000 per hour. Can you give me $800? The father said, "For what?" He said, "No, you give me $800. So the father gave $800. The child went to his bedroom, picked up his pillow, and from underneath the pillow he pulled out $200 bills, $200. $800 from the father, $200 which he had saved, took the $1,000, went to the father, said, "Here, Pop, this is $1,000, give me 1 hour." Right. Your charge is $1,000 per hour, right? Here is $1,000. Give me 1 hour. Today's society is based on so much dealing with machines, machines, machines,
right,
that there comes a time when there is no sentiments, no feelings, no family life. Examine this carefully in the Western civilization, and the same influence is coming to India in the name of globalization and inviting the MNCs to India to boost up the Indian economy.
Right.
All those influences are seeping in the very deep roots of our culture and breaking it down. Why? Because it teaches us simply to deal with matter. In all our schools and colleges, we are taught how to deal with machines. But is there a school, is there a college, is there an institution which teaches us how to deal with the person who makes that machine move? There is no training. There is no training to deal with values, principles, sentiments, emotions, morals. But there is a lot of training how to deal with facts and figures. A lot of training how to deal with matter and machines.
Right.
And so much impersonalism has come in today that what is the result? We find gone are the days when houses would be named Shanti Kunj, right, and Krishna Nivas, or maybe whatever, different names, right, Prem Niketan, gone are those names. What are the things? Flat number 4,
right,
flat number 5, block number 230/7. So impersonalism, no names, all dealing simply with numbers. When you go to college, teacher, when she takes proxy, attendance, what does she say? Roll number 1, roll number 2, roll number 25. Arre, itna sundar naam baap ne aur maa ne diya hai. Kya, number pukarne ke liye?
Right.
1, 2, 3, 4. So much impersonalism that we are identified by numbers.
Correct.
Go to your bank. Bank ka account number. So much impersonalism, simply numbers, numbers, numbers. Bus number, platform number, roll number, account number.
Right.
Only number. There is nothing else but dealing with numbers.
Correct.
How has it come about? How gone? Why people today do not give names to their houses? Why people do not call you by names? Because when dealing with matter, simply dealing with numbers, the result is impersonalism.
Next.
It results in criminal acts. Because ultimately, if everyone around me is matter, matter will go to matter. Kya farak padega? Right. Friend is there, so what? He is matter. Ultimately, he is going to be matter. Earth will go to earth, water will go to water, fire will go to fire, air will go to air, sky will go to sky. So if everyone around is matter, then what difference it makes whether you make him live or kill him? Absolutely doesn't make any difference. Stalin killed 6 million people simply based on some of his egoistic desires. No values, no principles. Matter, everything is matter. Kill, slaughter. Hitler slaughtered thousands and thousands and thousands of Jews.
Right.
Why? Simply because he had a certain kind of ideology. Matter, what difference it makes? How does it matter if you just kill matter?
Right.
And when it comes to child in the womb, in a very sweet way, they say MTP, medical termination of pregnancy for abortion. Matter, it's a lump of flesh. How does it make any difference if you kill it?
Right.
Doesn't make any difference. One of our devotees was telling what his teacher would teach him. His teacher would teach him, if you want to reach the ultimatum of success, you have to climb over the ladder made up of dead bodies.
Right.
To reach the ultimate success, you have to climb up the ladder made up of dead bodies. Doesn't matter. Kill people if it is an obstacle in your path to success. There was an emperor called King Constantine. And this emperor Constantine, there was a huge pot of burning hot oil. He took his queen and put in that burning hot oil, simply to prove that life is matter, there is no soul in women. Simply to show that there is no soul in women, which means men have soul.
Right.
But women have no soul. Otherwise, if women also have sworn, then they will demand equal rights, no? Right, so better kill them. So in this way we find, if we misidentify ourselves with matter, it results into number one, impersonalism. No personal relations, no personal values. And secondly, it results in criminal acts, massacres, abortion, and so many such practices, unethical and immoral. Next. But when we carefully see our experience and the experience of others, we find that living beings have emotions and feelings, unlike dead matter. Right? It is quite easy for me to take this small watch and throw it down the street.
Correct.
Would it be the same for me to pick one of you and throw down the street?
Right.
What would you do? Does the watch say, cry out, send shrieking cries, oh please, don't do this to me, it's too painful, I feel too much pain? No. But each of you will definitely do that to me, right? You will say, sadhu maar raha hai toh theek hai, ek baar, do baar, teen baar, char baar, agar hai toh phir bahar chalna dikhata hun, right? You come out, then I will show you, right? We have feelings, we have emotions, and the Vedic culture is exactly against this concept of matter, identifying with matter. Against this concept of impersonal behavior and impersonal dealing, because it bases our lives on the fact that we are not this body, but we are the soul or the Atma. It's a very interesting point to note. Day before yesterday there was one of our very senior devotees here, Gopi Paranjan Prabhu, who was here, and he was explaining a very interesting concept. Very wonderful to note.
Right.
He was explaining, how is it that this concept of yajna works? All of you have heard yajna. We perform yajna, fire sacrifice. And we have heard the different devatas come, demigods come, and they take their share from the fire sacrifice. This yajna is based on four Vedas. The Rig Veda, the Yajur Veda, the Sama Veda, and the Atharva Veda. In very simple terms, let me explain to you what it means. This whole concept of yajna is like a banquet, a party for the demigods. A very nice party for the demigods. So when the fire sacrifice is performed, there are the priests who are called the Rigvedis, who chant the mantras from the Rigveda. And what are the mantras from the Rigveda meant for? To welcome the demigods. So he is the MC for the program.
Right.
The Rigvedi is the MC for the program, is welcoming all the demigods. Please come.
Right.
Then the Samavedi, what is his job? He will take the verses, the Samavedic verses, and chant them in a beautiful musical rhythm, in meters,
right?
Just like you go for a party, then there is nice music going on. So there is nice soothing music chanted by the Samavedis, and the Devatas are coming, nice party,
right?
Welcome, MC is giving word of welcome, then there is a Samavedi who is giving nice music, musical welcome. And then the Atharvavedi, his job is to just sit and watch very critically. If any mistake is performed, then he has to immediately chant mantras from the Atharvaveda to rectify the mistake. Otherwise that mistake may have some reaction. But the main job is that of the Yajurvedi. Now what does Yajurvedi do? Yajurvedi makes impersonal matter into personal aspects. Let me explain how. He takes a pot, a matka. And after taking the matka, he starts chanting certain mantras and says, now this is the womb of earth. This is the womb of Aditi. And because this is the womb of Aditi, Aditi being the mother of all devatas, let the devatas all come here.
Right.
And actually it happens. The same matka, which is matter, earth, water, fire, aritha, now starts acting as the womb of earth. Now starts acting as the womb of Aditi, as the host of all demigods, the host of all devatas. Sometimes these concepts appear to be too far out, is it not? Aisa bhi hota hai kya? How is it possible? Just chanting some mantra, how can some matter be transformed into a personal thing? Now womb is a personal thing, the womb of a mother,
right?
So in Oxford University, there was a professor whose name was J.L. Austin. Kindly hear this attentively, it's a very interesting concept, if you understand it well. Professor J. Royal Austin coined a phrase called performative utterance. Utterance means you utter some words. And what is the meaning of performative utterance? Performative utterance means when you utter those words, it actually performs the task. Correct? So just like if there is a judge who is sitting in the court and the judge sees the convict in the witness box and says, I sentence him to life imprisonment. Now are these just words? They are performative utterance because they actually perform the act of sentencing him to death. In the Christian tradition, a priest comes and says, I pronounce the bride and the bridegroom, the boy and the girl married, and they are considered to be married. His words actually perform the act. Now you sit on this particular asana and say, I pronounce him to life imprisonment. Correct. Kaun sunega? Right. And if you say, I pronounce this boy and this girl married, will anyone take that as marriage? No. But when an authoritative person does it, immediately that word has the power to turn into action. So if in this world words can perform an act, what to speak of the bygone ages which were more advanced than today, where these mantras had the power to actually act. Right. Therefore you may be surprised to find out that in the Vedic times you have a person behind everything. Jab Ganga Nadi hai to uski ek Ganga Devi, there is a Ganga Devi, actually a personality. Himalayas, there is a personality, therefore we say daughter of the Himalayas, Parvati Devi. Are pahad ki beti kaisi ho sakti hai? Right. Unless there is a personality. Then we know the story of Ganga giving birth to right Bhishma. Right. We know the stories. How can river give birth to a child? How can mountain give birth to a daughter? Which means in Vedic culture, everything is associated with a personality. Exactly opposite of the modern culture, where when everything deals with just figures and numbers and machines and matter, we become impersonal. Therefore, when we shift to the Vedic culture and start living our lives based on a personal approach, automatically our family life, our life amongst friends improves. Why? Because we learn now not just to deal with dead matter but to deal with person. We don't deal just with stones and bricks. Himalaya, personality. We don't deal with just water. Ganga, personality. So we get accustomed, just like I told the story of pebbles. We get accustomed by dealing with matter to deal with matter. Similarly, when we start dealing with personalities, we also get accustomed to deal with personalities, and naturally our personal approach to life improves. Right. Many times students ask me, next. From scriptures we understand that we are a living being, a spirit soul, beyond matter. My identity is not that I am this body, but I am Atma, spirit soul. Tomar porichay ki? Amar porichay, ami Atma. Right. Not ami Bharatiya, ami Bangla. Right. Our porichay is I am not the body, but I am the Atma or the spirit soul. One time I was giving a lecture on the science of soul, life after death, at the Institute of Sciences. You must have heard, very reputed institute at Churchgate.